I get down here, we don't have to walk up and down steps. I'm going to start this morning just sharing some things I've observed and things I've learned over the years about the Holy Spirit. We've got some scripture. I might get to it today, might not. Yeah, that clock needs changed. Boy, that threw me. The Holy Spirit, as we've been learning, is something God is God's very presence. He sent his essence of who he is, not to just dwell with us, but to dwell within us. It's more than the breath of life. In Genesis, when God said, "My spirit shall not abide with man forever anymore," he was not saying the breath of life. He was saying, "My Holy Spirit cannot live within man because he is just flesh and blood." In other words, we were nothing more than mud. And God had a plan already in place. He would ask Jesus to die, to set all things new, redeem us forever from anything we would ever do, intentionally or unintentionally. He paid that price. And when he did that, he sanctified us. He cleaned us. No matter how awful we've been, what Jesus did restored the being that we are. Now, sin is still in effect in this world. That's why our bodies deal with the effects of sin. Okay, that's why we age the way we age. That's why things happen. And we still live in a free will world. So many of these poets and musicians and philosophers, "Well, I would rather be free will than to serve God." You're a moron. God is totally free will. He's never twisted my arm and made me do anything. But one thing I have learned is I don't dare oppose God. I'm going to lose. And so when he sent Jesus, he made a way that the Holy Spirit could dwell within us again. You see, after the flood, the Holy Spirit could no longer dwell within any man. The Holy Spirit would come upon the high priests and upon the prophets. That's why if you look back at the prophets, you'll see they made some really goofy decisions for who they were. You've got the prophet Elijah running from a woman who threatened to kill him after he just called fire from heaven. That's because the Spirit had lifted from him and he now heard this as a man. Not as a mighty prophet, a mighty man of God who is empowered by the Holy Spirit, but by a measly man. And the queen has said, "I will have you killed." He did what every smart man does. When you take off a woman who has the ability to kill you, you run. I always joke, and I, you guys that have taught your wives how to shoot guns, bad decision. She can now get justice and chase you. You can run, but you will die tired. And that's what was going to happen to Elijah. She was going to kill him. So he ran, did the only thing he knew to do, threw him into a depression. But God stayed with him, didn't he? Fed him. And then finally, God said, "What are you doing here?" He let Elijah wallow in his self-pity for a while. And then he said, "Let's move on." The Holy Spirit would come upon Elijah. Didn't dwell within him. He didn't have the Holy Spirit to help him with every decision he made. That's what Jesus sent for us. That's why Jesus said, "I need you to understand how beneficial this is that I leave. I have to go so that my Father will send the Comforter." See, a Comforter, you know, most of us have got one on our bed, don't we? They're just so comfortable. They keep us warm. They're soft. We feel cocooned in our beds. Well, that's what the Holy Spirit does. He enraptures us. He covers us up, wraps us up. When you're in your comforter, as a kid, you know, when I was dealing with being afraid of the dark, you know, any kind of sound, my comforter became my comfort. I just pull it over my head and try to go to sleep. The whole time, my heartbeat beating in my ear, sounding like somebody walking through the leaves outside. So I didn't get a whole lot of sleep because I thought there were people walking around the house. And just so you know, I had lived in a house once that there were people walking outside with guns trying to get in. My uncle shot one of them, and that was my welcome to Morrow County. But the hilarious part, it was over drugs. And here we are now today praying against drugs. Why? Because the Holy Spirit led us to pray. Now, if you've paid attention to the newspapers, 14 arrests made in Morrow County, drug-related and burglary-related. But last Friday, I learned this Sunday evening, last Friday at the Delaware-Marion County line, another mobile meth lab was taken off the road. Routine stop. The officer just happened to notice something and pulled the people out of the car, and when they searched it, they found it was a mobile meth lab. So don't think our prayers are not moving. Well, Pastor, they've been working on that case since 2016. That's what the paper said. Yeah. They were able to get the majority of them off the road right off the bat, and now they're catching the others. Why do you think the Holy Spirit had us pray at such a time? There's a reason. There's a whole point behind everything. I hadn't felt led to pray like that for a while. That's the Holy Spirit. He leads us and guides us all the time. See, the prophets, they would have to wait until the Holy Spirit came upon them to be able to do any of this. We have the benefit of every day. We get up. You can say, Lord, what do I have for breakfast today? You know, Benny Hinn wrote a book, Good Morning, Holy Spirit. Now, the Holy Spirit lives within me all the time. I choose to say, Good morning, Father. Because if you understand the purpose of the role of the Holy Spirit, the role of Jesus Christ, Jesus never said, pray to me. Never. He never said, pray to the Holy Spirit. Now, we can ask the Holy Spirit to move. But the Holy Spirit will not move and do anything until orders come from the Father. That is why Jesus taught us to pray to the Father through His authority. In His name. So when we pray to the Father. And He's the one who sends the executive branch into action, who executes the will of God, the Holy Spirit. It was the will of God that we start dealing with drugs. We start dealing with the sexual perversion that's going on. It's the will of God that this stuff starts getting taken care of. By the way, this is also the will of God, or not the will of God, but the working of the Holy Spirit through the discerning of spirits. Because see, here's what we like to do. We like to look at people and just call them perverts instead of dealing with the true problem that's behind it. See, not every drug addict wanted to become a drug addict. Ooh, I think I'm just going to start putting stuff up my nose, shooting something in my arm. It's not what happened. Something helped them get there. When you deal with the root of a problem, you deal with the problem. Otherwise, it just keeps coming back up, doesn't it? You can pluck all the little yellow dandelions if you don't take care of the root. And I know some of you got posting about the bees. That's why I plant fruit trees. I got thousands of blossoms. But if you don't deal with the root, what happens? The bud comes right back. Any invasive weed or certain, we had this thing, it was called the Tree of Paradise. Anybody ever had one? I thought they were just really cool. They looked like tropical. Man, this thing was growing right there by the house. I let it get up about 7-8 feet and then cut it down because it was growing right by the house. And if you got a tree like that, cut it down. You're ruining your foundation. But my neighbor had one too. He cut his big, it was a big one, it was about that big. He cut it completely out. It grows by rhizomes. In other words, roots that grow, keep going. And when you kill this part, the root system takes off and it starts shooting up because it wants to survive. The 2 years after he cut that thing down, I was mowing hundreds of them stupid little trees down. And I no longer called it the tree of paradise. It was the tree from hell. Because it grew faster than the grass. So it was really became something I hated. And I just finally got something to take care of the root grown by my tree, by my house, and said, we're done with this. But see, the Holy Spirit will help you to understand what to pray for, where to go, where to deal with the problem. You may have somebody who's old, you know, mean. That's usually what we old and cranky and old and crotchety. But the truth of the matter is, if they're crotchety and if they're cranky like that all the time, there's a reason. Something happened. You can ask the Holy Spirit to help you pray. Show you how to love them. We'll talk about love, working through the Holy Spirit and the gifts and all that in a little while. But the things that I've learned about the Holy Spirit, I haven't learned a whole lot by reading books. I've learned a little bit by going to some meetings. But most of what I've learned through the Holy Spirit is by talking to the Holy Spirit, talking to the Father, asking God, what's right? What do I do? How do I do this? What about this? And those are some of the things I want to share with you today. Now, one of the things I will tell you is the Holy Spirit will speak to you. Miss Cindy asked me this question after service last week. How do I know the voice of God? It's going to be the Holy Spirit speaking. I want you to understand that. Most of the time. I can tell you, I've heard an audible voice one time, for sure. One time. Called my name. Just once. And I'm going to tell you what, I know that it was God because my dad didn't believe in buying mufflers for the mowers. And it was a piece of pipe. And it was loud. And I heard my name above that. I shut the mower off, went to the house, and asked my mom what she wanted. She said, I didn't call you. I said, but I heard my name. See, Samuel heard his name 3 times. He went to the high priest. It will be a voice familiar to you. You will think it's somebody else, but it's the voice of God. Because your mind will try to justify, oh, that was mom calling me. That was Eli calling me. And here was the Holy Spirit. Do you know why? It was the voice of God. And the reason being that it's familiar to you is because the Holy Spirit inside of you recognized it. Exactly. The Holy Spirit responded. So you got up and you went searching for the source of the voice, and it wasn't there. Don't get bent out of shape if you've never heard the voice. Don't worry about it. You still have the same Holy Spirit. And if it's that important to you, I believe God will show himself to you that way sometime when you're capable. Because otherwise you'll think you're going crazy. Now, another way the Holy Spirit speaks to us is straight into our spirit. When God told me to start this church, I felt and heard within my spirit, take it. To which, you know, I replied back in my spirit, no way. See, and that's the thing you need to understand about God and the Holy Spirit. He's not a tyrant. He's not going to beat you. What the Holy Spirit did after that was sent my wife to me. And not because she had heard what I had heard, but because God moved on her heartstrings for other people. Personally, I didn't care. But ultimately, I did. And then God began to bring back through things that He has shown us and told us through His Spirit. Whether it be a word somebody had or a dream that one of us may have had. He began moving like that. The Holy Spirit can speak to you through dreams. Not all the time. Don't think every dream is from God. Sometimes the devil just wants to get you confused. So there's that. Sometimes it'll be the impression. Sometimes you'll be singing a song like this one. Never once did you ever leave us. I don't know. Maybe somebody in here was feeling like God had left them alone. And God told her to play this song today so that it would speak to you. Sometime you might be reading your Bible and God will say, here, Dana, turn here. I got something to say to you today. Not every time. Sometimes. And I want you to know, Miss Cindy, that what you were, the question you, how you posed it, I have had the same way. It was about seatbelts. I hate them. I think they're socialistic. If you want to wear it, wear it. I'm sorry. You may disagree with me. That's fine. I know a lot of you don't wear them too. I see you. But I can't tell you how many times I will pull out of a parking lot, not even paying attention to signs, but for some reason, the one that gets it says, click it, this may be your last chance. And I've said, okay, God. Then there's other times I may have pulled out without it, drove down the road without my seatbelt. The little delinquent alert going off in the dashboard. That's what my wife calls it, because I'm the delinquent of the family. I try to wear it. Somehow I got out of the habit. But you see, the Holy Spirit protects me. Put your seatbelt on. It was the same thing with my motorcycle helmet. Well, it's just smart. Well, I'll be honest with you, it's just smart if we just quit breathing. We won't inhale all the germs. We won't inhale whatever toxins might be in the air. We'll just pass out or die, depending on how long you can hold your breath. But when you pass out, you'll automatically start breathing. So that just kind of becomes a moot point. You have to listen to the Holy Spirit. And there were times, I explained to Angela, I said, there are times I will put my helmet on because God told me to put it on. Don't know why. Nothing ever happened. Go figure, right? Remember we were talking about this a couple weeks ago. The Holy Spirit tells you to do something. Did the bad thing happen or not because I obeyed? Well, the bad thing didn't happen because you obeyed. But yet you question in yourself, would it have happened anyhow? Well, I would rather play it safe when it comes to the Holy Spirit, especially with my life. Because contrary to a lot of what people teach and tell you, I love this place. God made it for me. Do you understand? The creator of the entire known universe chose the third rock from the sun to put life. Thank God he didn't choose Pluto. I don't like cold. Or Mars, I like warm, but not that warm. Or no, they're not warm, it's Mercury I'm thinking of. Not Mercury. So, we can live by the Holy Spirit, doing what the Holy Spirit tells us. And I'm going to tell you, sometimes things have to become a revelation to you. And that's what I pray you get, is the revelation of the Holy Spirit and how the Holy Spirit works in you. For years, I've seen people try to jam the Holy Spirit down people's throats. First off, the Holy Spirit is a gentleman. The Holy Spirit will never force himself upon us. Never. The Holy Spirit is not rude, uncontrollable. The Bible tells us that all the gifts of the Holy Spirit are controlled by us. So people that said, I just can't help but talk in tongues, you lie. Because I'm not going to call the Word of God a liar. I'm going to call you the liar. You can control it. Somebody asks you to say a blessing, you don't need to open with a 10-minute word in tongues. Be honest with you, you just need to say, Lord, thank you for this food. I'll be honest, most of the time when people get long-winded at Grace, I'm starving. I'm about ready to say amen myself. But the Holy Spirit is here to better our lives each and every day by telling us things. Don't go down that road. But I always go down this road. Don't go. You get down there and the bridge is out. Don't go there. Don't go there today. So many people have testified after 9/11. A voice told them not to go to work. They weren't even saved. Who do you think that voice was? Well, I don't believe the Holy Spirit talks to heathens. Well, you ought to be glad he does. Because he talks to you. Who are you to say who the Holy Spirit can tell? Because you don't know the call that they have on their life. Exactly. The Holy Spirit's the one that draws us to the salvation. It's not how good the church is. It's not how glorious of a building we erect. It's the goodness of God revealed through the Holy Spirit. The gifts of God through the Holy Spirit have become a joke in my book. You got people trying to teach you how to prophesy. Seriously. Well, they had it in the Bible. Yeah, before the Holy Spirit could dwell within you. Do you know what they teach you to do? Read people. It's really not that hard to read people. If you spend a little bit of time talking to them, you'll be able to read a person. You'll be able to know some things they've been through. There's your window. I knew a man who'd gone through a school of the prophets. I just went to that service. I forget why I went. I was invited. So I went. Well, he got to be in the group that come over and prayed, and then he started going around with words. And the hilarious part was, he knew me. Everything he said, I know for a fact he knew naturally because I had told him. Everything. There was no gift of the Holy Spirit in that. The Holy Spirit's the one that tells you things you've never told anybody. When somebody tells you something like that, you should be like a dog. It hears a strange sound and your ears should go up and you should start listening. You should pay attention to what's being said. Because if you've never told them and nobody else around you knows you, you might want to listen to what God has to say. There are things that, you know, I may tell you something. Well, yeah, Pastor, you knew that. Well, yeah, but the Holy Spirit told me to tell you something as your pastor to encourage you. I don't ever claim to prophesy. And when I say prophesy, I mean tell you fortuitous things to come. Because in my opinion, if the prophecy cannot build you up now, what good is it? Doom and gloom are heading your way. You know what, people, first off, you tell people that, they ain't going to listen. I can't tell you how many messages I've taught on trying to get through to people, don't do what you're about to do. And they go do what they shouldn't do, later regretting what they did. So if I'm ever preaching a message and it seems like I'm going over and over and over on it, ask yourself, is this coming at me? I may know something in the natural, and unless God kicks me in the seat of the pants and jumps, makes me step right in front of you and say, listen, I'm going to do it right here, because you may not be the only one dealing with something. Just like correction. Can't tell you how many times I've done that and people just, whoa. Take it. Grow. Listen, I corrected my sons because I loved them. The Holy Spirit corrects us because God loves us. And it doesn't, a correction's not always a beating either. Correction is, come over here and do this. Next time, do this. That's correction. Correction doesn't always have to be stiff or strong-armed. There's certain things, if you correct strong-armed, you're going to destroy it. Especially if you're raising a nuclear physicist. You don't strong-arm them, you might blow everything up. The Holy Spirit comes peacefully. You know, we have two evidences of the Holy Spirit coming upon and dwelling in people. First off, Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit came as a dove and descended upon Jesus. It looked as a dove, okay? The Holy Spirit is not a dove. Get that out of your mindset. Don't be looking for feathers to fall from the ceiling. You look for feathers. Oh, there's angels, the Holy Spirit. I'm looking for the pigeon that got in the house, okay? People are so moved by weird manifested signs. Seriously, if God's got to send feathers from the ceiling to you to get you to believe, are you really going to believe? Because Jesus said it's an evil generation or evil people who are seeking the sign. He said evil, not live, which is the opposite of evil. He said evil people seek this stuff. Quit seeking weird signs that the Holy Spirit exists. The Holy Spirit came upon Jesus gently as a dove with compassion. And it came upon the 120 that held on in the upper room as fire. You know why I believe he didn't have to come upon Jesus in fire? Jesus was already lit up. He was already on fire. He already burned for the things of God. He already burned to do the will of God. These other, by the way, there was 500 in that room originally. 380 couldn't hang around long enough. Even after a resurrected man said, hang on. It was just a couple more days. Hang on. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. Now when the Holy Spirit came upon them, the Bible says they began to speak in tongues, in other tongues. And if you keep reading on, the tongues they're actually speaking in were native languages. They were native languages of people that were in Jerusalem at the time for a celebration. And they went out and began testifying of the good things God does. And each man heard it in their own language. These poor guys had no clue what they were saying. But yet every person that heard them in their own language did. And people got saved because of that. Okay, this guy's just a redneck, but yet he knows my language. A complicated language. That's pretty much what they said when they called them Galileans. Aren't these guys just rednecks? And I'm sure they had rednecks because they were, most of them were fishermen. They didn't get to sit out on a boat with a rod and reel, feet kicked up, cold drink sitting next to you, hat on your head. No, they were leaned over the ship with their backs pulling the fish out of the water with the net. Today, I have witnessed, and I've actually been in services and been done to me, where when people lay hands on you to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which is an infilling. Okay, it's to fill you all the way up. I believe you get a deposit when you receive Jesus Christ. But living full of the Holy Spirit is something totally different. But I've been in churches, been parts of services, and had it done to me where they try to train you to speak in tongues. I won't do that. Never. Because that's not God. That's forcing something to make this guy look good. I got over that a long time. I don't get moved whether you get slain in the spirit. God moved and healed you just. See, folks, that all happened because evil people need a sign. And if the minister has to have a sign that you fell down, he's evil. If you got to have a sign that God's moving and somebody gets slain in the spirit, you're evil. You don't have faith. God can heal you standing straight up. Now, have I been slain in the spirit? Yes, I have. I even took a courtesy dive, which I'll never do again. Because I didn't want to embarrass the preacher. Because he even said, "Don't fight it, Art, don't fight it." It's the last time I let him lay hands on me, too. I'm not interested in making you look good. Whether somebody falls out into the spirit, doesn't matter. I have had it, I'll be honest with you, because I was very skeptical. You can ask my wife. But y'all remember back in the 90s, they called it the laughing revival. People getting filled with the Holy Spirit and just laughing for hours and hours and hours. And there was some truth to that. There really was. There were people that needed that. And then there were some people that just really got hold of something and they can just ruin something. But I was extremely skeptical because that's the kind of garbage I had left. I wanted no part. You can even ask my wife. I said, "They get goofy, we're leaving this church." I said, "I don't care. I will not be a part of goofiness again." And this started coming around and my wife starts, she's laying on the floor, she's laughing. And I'm just like, I'm about ready to leave. I mean, I was the sound man. She was the praise leader. And the church was kind of set up a little bit like this. We had a section here. We had actually had two sections. And we sat over there. And I said, "God, if anything's going to happen, it's going to be you. I don't want somebody pushing me down, bending my head back, trying to force me onto the ground." By the way, if you ever notice, when I lay hands on you, I will just lay my hand gently on your forehead. But I have had people, no matter how hard you push, it's like, "Seriously, dude, stop. You're hurting my neck." There I stand, Mr. Skeptic, baptized in the Holy Spirit. I believe God, I love God. But I ain't sure about this weird stuff. And I've been hearing all kinds of stuff happening, seeing stuff. And I thought, you know, he starts going down through there. Sections fall down. I thought, "Man, you bunch of weenies." Section falls. He gets over to our section. I'm just standing there. I wake up on the floor. Mind you, this church was about 500 at the time. Okay? This section had about 75 people in it. They all fell backwards. I like to sit on the end. I fell forward. Everybody else went that way. The skeptic fell on the floor. God showed me that he's real and he will move through things. It's men who corrupt what he's doing. People jumped on that. Next thing you know, we got people just being stupid, driving in circles in their parking lots of their churches. Go home. You are not drunk. Quit acting stupid. Was it our church they sent the fire trucks one time? Somebody else's church. I can't remember who it was. No, it wasn't Azusa. There was another church at that time. They sent fire trucks because people had reported seeing flames. Fire trucks get there, there's no flames. The Holy Spirit was moving. What did God do in me? I really can't tell you. All I know is I wasn't the same. Okay? He changed things in me. Did I have to fall? I think I did. I did. I'd seen enough of the corruption of the gifts of the Holy Spirit that I was Mr. Skeptic. But what that set me up for was to be able to listen to the messages my pastor taught. The two messages he taught the most were about love and forgiveness. And it was from that point that I started growing. That God began restoring things. It would be later, within probably a year, maybe less than that, within a year, year and a half of that, somewhere in that time frame, God would tell us that we would come back home. Or no, we would teach as others have not taught. And I always thought, how on God's green earth can you teach as other people haven't? We've been around for how many thousands of years now? There's how many Christians on the planet? Now we're at roughly 7.3 billion people. Seriously. Well, I'll tell you how we teach that others don't. We live it. We tell you our faults. I'm flawed. We're all flawed. But God still loves us. That's the point. Get mad at me. I don't really care. Not anymore. I used to. Until God kind of reminded me, they're not mad at you, they're mad at me. The gifts of God aren't to make you weird. The Holy Spirit doesn't make you weird. Goodness gracious, we can do that on our own. We need to understand that God wants the Holy Spirit in us for our benefit so that we can grow as believers. The Holy Spirit is how you and I will overcome the things that come at us. The Holy Spirit is how we will avoid trouble. How many times? Don't do that. Don't go there. We go. What do? We poked the hornet's nest and didn't have enough sense to run. That's what we do. And the whole time the Holy Spirit just said, let it go. But I've got to be vindicated. And then we just start swelling up and we're ready to rip their heads off and spit down their neck. That's the way it happens. Instead of listening to the Holy Spirit, just saying, let it go. We did. Joshua and Tony and me and Angela went to watch The Shack the other night. If you haven't seen it, you've got to see it. You've got to go see it. Yeah, if you've never read, I recommend you read the book. I really do. It's probably the last book I read all the way through. The reason I did is because I couldn't walk away from it. It will challenge you. But if you will listen to the Holy Spirit that's dwelling within you, you will see somebody got hold of a revelation that the church doesn't want to be out there. Oh, but God's not a woman. We do call him the many-breasted one. We do say we were created in the image of God, and originally, this is what the church teaches, men had breasts. So, sorry, but we need to get what we thought we knew of God. He's not an old man sitting somewhere with a big long white beard and a white robe with a crooked cane. I believe God has long hair. I really do. He's not sitting up there with a crew cut. God's not sitting up there with some little robe with a sash on it. Little weenie guy. God has chiseled features. He's muscular. He's a man's man. He called him the mighty warrior, remember? The Holy Spirit is the executive branch that brings life. The Son is the product. But this movie, it's been a few years since I'd read the book, didn't challenge me. It just slapped me again of how I judge. And the Holy Spirit, and I know this, says don't judge. It's easy for us to stand back and say, well, you know, you just need to stop that. You just need to stop that. People don't understand why they're doing it to begin with. And until you quit judging them, you're never going to help them. We'll listen to the Holy Spirit. And I'm telling everybody in here, our high school kids, adults, grandparents, parents, brothers, sisters, aunts, uncles, whoever you are, if you will listen to the Holy Spirit about anything, teachers, you have an awesome opportunity. All of you. You see kids coming through all different walks of life. You don't know what's going on in those kids' lives, do you? Most of them won't tell you. I learned of a young lady who went to Mount Gilead. People said she was a slut. Didn't have any respect for herself. Got to take a breath, because this angers me. She was raped by her brother and her grandfather from this community. Some of you may know her. Matter of fact, I know some of you do. slut because she no longer has respect for herself. See, if we'll listen to the Holy Spirit, we'll be able to reach out. Don't sit back now and say, oh, I'm fighting just for this person. Move on. We all have to do that. You have an awesome power in the authority of Jesus Christ. You can pray. Teachers, those are your students. They belong to you. Take authority. That's your school. That's my school. That's our school. We can take authority. That's why we're doing this. Listen, I'm going to tell you what. We prepare for things in the natural, okay? Yes, we have armed personnel in here. The devil's not going to walk in, and I make sure people know that, because first off, nut jobs don't come to places where they know there's weapons. The guy that shot up the theater during the Batman movie drove 10 miles past the theater that allowed people with guns to go to one that didn't, because he knew he would be okay. We prepare, but I want to tell you a little something. Should anything ever happen, I don't believe there'll be a shot fired. I really don't. Because as I was contemplating all this several years back, I was praying. I was like, God, you know, this could be Pandora's box. This could just go, whoo. You know, I mean, I know churches where they just let everybody carry. I don't want that. That's a shooting gallery. And some of you, honestly, nothing against you. I don't want to be in your line of fire. Because your life will change forever, one way or the other. But as I was praying about this, I mean, man, I think I actually just shared this to Angela a couple weeks back, debating on what to do. I said, God, I would die for my family. That's you. And I had a vision. Actually, it might have been a dream. I don't remember if I was asleep or not now. But I'll call it a dream. We still had the wall back there. And I was up here preaching. Somebody came in. Took Justin. Put a gun to his head. I didn't have a gun. I had the Holy Spirit. And I walked down the aisle praying in tongues. About right here. And I took the gun from him. Oh, but Pastor, you carry a gun. You're darn right I do. But I'm not relying on that gun. I've got a weapon far greater that has already changed my life. I don't live in fear. I need you to understand that. I do not live in fear. Do I have guns at my house? You better believe I do. But I don't live in fear. I know who I am. I'm a child of a king, who has the Holy Spirit living inside of him, who has angels set around about my property. My neighbors have stuff disappearing. I don't. They all have security lights. I don't. Makes me easier to be seen. See, I'm not a victim. and I refuse to be a victim. But I have the Holy Spirit. If the Holy Spirit is with me, I've already won. That's why the church gets beat up. They don't know who they are. They don't know they've got the power. I'm going to tell you right now, when stuff comes at you, comes at your family, you've got to throw back who you were and rise up to who you are. I've always been a person, I would rather be behind the scenes. Today, I still would. I don't do things to draw attention to me. And there's times I hate being up here until I start bringing forth the message. I stand back there because I don't want you watching me. I know many preachers, they've got a double-wide couch sitting right there in the front with their drinks, their special glasses, and all that, just so you can see them. I don't want that. I want you to see God. You shouldn't be looking to see if the preacher's got his hands in the air. Most of the time, I don't. Most of the time, I'm back here looking at my Bible again. I know I didn't put any scriptures up today. I had them selected. You can ask Carsey. We're just not going to get to them. See, that's the Holy Spirit that says we would rather. I forgot where I was going, so that's why I'm changing gears. We should never do anything to draw attention to ourselves. We'll get to that next week about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. But if you will get hold of who you are, your authority, you'll walk out of the house and won't worry. Crying out loud. We went to see my sister in Cleveland. She was having her first daughter or second daughter. Pat and Brenda had loaned us their Garmin. We didn't have an address for the thing, so we just selected the road and that it was on, thinking hopefully it'll get us close to where we wanted. Well, we saw Progressive Field, which is on the other side of the Cuyahoga River, which runs right through Arabtown. All the writing was Arabic on the walls. And my mom was like, oh my goodness. I used to live in Cleveland. I lived on the east side, the not good part. And my mom, I remember her saying, oh my goodness. Are the doors locked? Fortunately, the vehicle locked automatically and said, let's get out of here pretty quick. I said, Mom, what are you worried about? I said, you see that Eagle, Globe, and Anchor on the back window of my truck or my vehicle? Ain't nobody going to mess with me. Well, that's awful pretentious. Thank God I joined the Marines, not the Boy Scouts. You're darn right. One against 1,000, the odds still aren't even. I know you think I joke. That's the odds the Bible gives me. The Bible gives me 1 in 1,000. And I had my wife. She had the hardest job in the Marine Corps. The Marine wife. So there's 10,000. My mom's a believer. We multiplied tenfold. There's 100,000. What have we to fear? I know who I am. I'm a devil dog. Not because I fight like a dog possessed of, or a dog possessed of the devil, but because I hunt devils. And I'm not afraid of them. Only because I understand the authority I have in Christ now. You have the same one. It doesn't matter what's going on around you, folks. You and God are still the majority. You have His Holy Spirit within you. Jesus, the Son of God in the flesh, says, it's better that I leave. We're talking about a man who walked by and demons said, why have you come to torment us? They cried out. A man who walked on the water, who calmed the storms, who was about to be pushed off of a cliff, walked right through the people and they never saw him. And he says, it's better that I leave so you can have the Holy Spirit. I was thinking about this last night, you know, about all that, you know, our prayer lives. And, you know, man, Angela put this thing on there, you know, how we look, how we feel in our prayer groups. You know, we're all holding hands and, I don't know, how we look. And then it shows Spartan warriors lined up, ready to go. It says how we feel during prayer. And the reason being is if you have the Holy Spirit, I wish I had this picture to put up on the thing. It's a picture of a 30-30 round. That's about this big. And a 30-06 round that's about that big. That's the difference in the Holy Spirit. This one will travel a lot faster and hit harder. Same size. One's going to do a lot of damage when it hits where it's going. I'd rather have the Holy Spirit than pray without it. Like I said, we'll talk more about the gifts and stuff of that nature. And again, I want you to understand, I am not against tongues. I pray in tongues. I don't do it as an attention getter to me. I think indeed that it is more a private thing. Always have. And since this is my church, we'll do what I want. But I believe it's what the Holy Spirit wants. Because tongues should never be a divider. And unfortunately, it's one of the biggest. Back in the day, it used to be resurrection. You know, the scribes and Pharisees, they argued over the resurrection. We still got people doing it. Doesn't make them any less my brother or sister. It just means they haven't gotten a full revelation of the word. I mean, until you get the revelation of something better and how to use something better, you really haven't tapped into everything. I forget what I was doing the other day. I did something. And somebody who actually worked in that line said, what did you just do? And I'm trying to remember for the life of me what it was I did. And they said, you know, in all the years I've done this, I've never seen that. I didn't know you could do that. It was the only way I'd learned. I forget who taught it to me, but that's just the way it is with the Holy Spirit. Well, this is what we know. Because I'm going to tell you some things about speaking in tongues later. That when you get hold of that revelation, look out. The devil. You won't have to spend hours praying in tongues. You have to spend hours because you're babbling. Well, I'll tell you more later. I wanted to wet your palate. Because I want you back here next week to understand. And I'll wrap up with this. Don't worry. Well, you know, Pastor, I'm not for certain about this whole tongue thing. Talk to God. If you want to be filled, I'll pray for you to be filled with the Spirit. I will not stand up here and teach you how to pray in tongues. You go home, hit your face before God. And I promise you, when you get hold of that, and then when you get hold of what I'm going to teach you about it, because it's a revelation to me, not something, not some theory I'm pulled out of the air. It was something I started noticing happening. And as it's happened, I'm like, okay. The Holy Spirit is not, we stopped right here. You know, we got filled with the Holy Spirit. We started speaking in tongues and then we stopped on the next revelation. And there's so much more to be had. There's so much more that God wants for every one of us. Don't think he's done with you. Don't think that you've received all the revelation you're ever going to get about God. And by the way, I want to tell you a little something. The description that I gave you of God was a vision. It happened, and I'll wrap up. It happened one night as I was going to bed. It was, I forget what was going on now, but I was down. That's all I can say. And I was just like, God, why did you ever call me to this? It's like, I fail you. And my wife, she's one of those, if, you know, she lays down, she's out inside of 30 seconds most of the time. She falls asleep real quick. But I had just laid down. I rarely fall asleep that fast, which, as I've understood, is a good thing. But I had just laid down and closed my eyes. And when I closed my eyes, you know how if you kind of lay in the sun, if you're laying out and the sun comes over and then all of a sudden everything kind of red, everything went gold. I was still awake. I mean, I hadn't gone to sleep yet. Everything went gold, and it was so bright and so intense. It's like, wow. And I just laid there. And as I did, the intensity of it, the brightness of it, dulled down a little bit. And I started seeing an outline. I saw a head. I saw ears. I saw a forehead. I saw a nose and a mouth and a chin. I saw a neck and shoulders. A chiseled chin, squared shoulders. I saw hair. I never saw the eyes. Now, I know, folks, you're going to say, well, the Bible says no man has ever seen God and lived. First off, let me tell you two things. First off, I never saw his eyes. The eyes are a window into the soul. I believe that's, if I saw his eyes, I probably would have went home that night. Or else had mine burned out. But two, the reason I was able to see, God had to shield Moses, remember? Put him in a rock and let him walk by to see his glory. My eyes were closed and God basically put glasses on me, but never let me see his eyes. You say, well, what was so special about you? He was smiling. Right when I needed it. He was smiling. One of the buffest men I have ever seen. He didn't have a beard, by the way. Not what I saw. But I promise you, had I not listened to the Holy Spirit and started changing who I am, I never would have got to see that. Never. You can have the same things. I'm just going to tell you, man, that meant the world to me. And I've tried to change even more. Because I want to be like him. I don't want to be like me. I want to be like him. It's a choice, you understand? It's a choice I make, not a decision somebody else is making for me. You can do the same thing. Listen to his Holy Spirit. That's how you'll change. When you fall, get back up. If you're hurt when you fall, let somebody help you. Again, we'll talk about more about some of that stuff next week. But I hope to God and pray to God that you are taking this authority over the things in your household, over things in your sphere of influence. Man, Pastor, I don't have a pulpit. Yeah, you do. It's called life. This job here, it's important. You actually have a greater job. And as a believer with you, I do too. I go out and do the same things. Just listening to the Holy Spirit can give you so much more to your life, to your callings. And the Holy Spirit usually anymore hasn't asked me to do anything crazy for a while, like starting a church. Yeah, there's been some crazy things. But we can talk more about that later. Let's stand. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you, Lord, for your Holy Spirit. Father, we thank you that you chose to allow your Holy Spirit to come live within us, to change our lives, to help us, to comfort us. Lord, I pray right now for anybody out here today who wants more of your Spirit. Lord, upon their desire, fill them. Fill them in Jesus' name. Strengthen them. Encourage them. Raise them up, Lord God. Father, help them to first off understand your authority and who they are, but to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit, gentle and meek, not arrogant and proud. And now, Father, I thank you and praise you for all these people. Lord, I bless them. Father, everybody who's here, everybody who was unable to be here, Lord, bless them above and beyond anything they could think this week. Move in their lives, Holy Spirit. I thank you and praise you, Father, in Jesus' name.